Father, we just acknowledge you this morning that it's when our hearts beat, when our soul breathes, when our life touches the ground, that we know that you are lifted up and that you come before us and that you accept us into your house, you accept us into your heart. And so I pray that this morning, that as we dive into your message, as we dive into your word, as we continue to learn more about who it is that you are, would you continue to allow our hearts to beat, our souls to breathe more for you, that we would touch the sky when we pray, that we would touch your heart when we praise you. So Father, again, would you continue just to open our eyes? Would you continue just to lift us up and continue to allow us just to learn more of who it is that you are and fall deeper in love with your word and you? Would you continue just to reveal your son to us? And would you continue just to allow us just to, again, grow more in love with your scripture and more in love with who it is that you are and the person that you want us to be? So we thank you. We do these and pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So if you're here with us last Sunday, if you weren't, we introduced a new series called Disciple in Training. We had just finished up going through the book of James and kind of understanding what it meant to have our faith be in action, what it meant to be a disciple of Christ, meant that it had faith, and that faith should lead us to taking different actions, should lead us to being different people. And so what we wanted to do in this series in Disciple in Training is, how do we take that faith and put it into action? How can we start doing things to deepen our love, to deepen our appreciation, to deepen our understanding of who it is that God has made us to be? And so we came across this term that we went over last week called spiritual disciplines. And it was, again, learning how we can draw closer to God through certain things, through doing certain actions. And we kind of came across two main categories, either disciplines of engagement or disciplines of abstinence. Engagements were things where you would do something, you would take an action to further see how God is reaching out to you. And abstinence were ones where you would withhold something, you would not do something to see how God speaks to you. And so this week, I wanted to start off the first discipline going through fasting, because I feel like there's a lot of pop culture, there's a lot of jargon and dieting trends and so things like that. They kind of confuse what biblical fasting means. And so what I want to do before I even dive into what the culture and the pop culture and things like that say is I want to show us, a little video here that kind of goes into some of the ideas that people have about fasting and some of the misconceptions that they have about fasting. So let me play this for us real quick.
I think fasting's awesome. I mean, where else can you combine spirituality and dieting all in the same way? I mean, it's bound rap, pound for pound, it does. You know, people think it's for monks or supermodels and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, it's for everybody. Last summer, I had a 20-year reunion / barbecue / swim party to go to, and I've done but had to drop about 85 pounds. So thanks to fasting, what has two thumbs and look good in a swimsuit? This guy. Thank you, Jesus.
Fasting? Yeah. I mean, I think it's great to skip a meal or two so you can hear God's voice better, you know, stay plugged into it. Yeah.
You know, some people fast from phones and music and gadgets.
What? That's not a sacrifice. That's not even biblical. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know? I mean, God gave us this stuff so we could stay plugged into it, maximize our lives.
It also keeps us busy enough to never be still or quiet.
Are you even a Christian?
I dare you to fast from your phone for 1 minute.
Fine. Minute. You got it. No biggie. I don't care. I probably should take that.
I fast. Okay, that's a total lie. I don't even fast at all. Okay, I want to. Another lie. Don't even think about it. Deal is, I'm hypoglycemic and diabetic, and that's not even close to the truth at all, okay? Hey, even the Bible says, he who hopes dies fasting, right? Right? Okay, Benjamin Franklin said that right before he died. Bottom line, fasting makes me hungry.
Are we almost done?
Hello, I'm Brett Johansson, and I believe that fasting is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines one can achieve in their faith. When my family or friends invite me to go to lunch, I gently remind them and passive-aggressively admonish them by reminding them, "Did you not get my fasting notification email? Oh, that I had the luxury to eat lunch like you do." Every year around Easter, I go through a 40-day fast to heighten my sensation of the Easter holiday. This year, however, I've decided to tack on 10 extra days. So by the time we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I will have been fasting for 50 whole days. If I survive.
In my fast, I have a very rigid schedule. And if you do not have a rigid schedule, then God does not approve. Some people like to cheat and they drink flavored waters and juices within the fast. You must be drinking unfiltered well water. And if you do not drink unfiltered well water, God does not approve. In the afternoon, I put a cone of silence around me. I do not talk to anyone. Yes, it does annoy people. Yes, it does anger my coworkers. I am persecuted within my fast. And if you are not persecuted within the fast, God does not approve. When I get home, I go straight to my prayer closet. I do not talk to my wife. I do not play with the kids. I let them fend for themselves. And if the kids do not fend for themselves and the wife does not get talked to, God does not approve.
You know what? I'm going to ask nice one more time, and then I am not in control of what happens, okay? So give me the phone. Okay, fine. I need the phone. I need to call.
So obviously we have a couple exaggerations and stereotypes played out to maybe their fullest degree, but it's not too far-fetched sometimes of what we think fasting is. And perhaps one thing that we'll kind of learn through today is not only the opposite of how we're supposed to handle these things, but hopefully we better understand what fasting means and how we can better apply it to our lives. And so what I want to go over here are three main points here. It's just looking at what exactly is fasting. How do we get a biblical definition of fasting? And then from there, dive into the Bible and look through a couple examples of why we should fast. And then finally, we'll go over a couple ideas of how can we practically and more accurately do a fast in our lives. So the first thing we'll go over here is a definition. I wanted to provide you here with something that we can work off of and where we can go from here. So again, biblical fasting is abstaining from anything for a specific time and for its spiritual purpose. So I'm going to break this down into three parts here. We're going to look at what does abstaining from everything mean, then we'll look at what does specific time mean, and then finally specific purpose as we kind of break this definition. So the first one here is, what does abstaining from anything really mean? And so, biblically speaking, the only type of fasting we really find examples of are fastings from food or water or both. And to kind of say that again, to make sure that I'm kind of conveying what I really want to say here, is that when you go through the Bible, the only examples of fasting that you'll find are basically food, water, or a combination of the two. But as we saw through the video, and as we often hear in our day-to-day lives, that people tend to fast from multiple different things. The video, again, kind of took the extreme measure of what it looked like to fast from technology. And the most obvious reason why we've kind of created this bigger definition of what it means and what do we fast from is for a variety of things. The first one would probably be medical. Again, if you're pregnant or if you're diabetic or if you have some other condition where you cannot not eat, then against your doctor's orders, we would not say that you should take a food fast. So while traditionally food has been the way that we've always fasted, again, today we fast from things like technology or social media or sports or even shopping. And so we've created this definition to kind of expand beyond just food to mean anything that we find enjoyment in, to fast from those things that we may potentially find enjoyment so that we can find greater enjoyment in who Jesus is. The other side of that that we look at is sometimes fasting from food doesn't really have that big of an impact on our lives. And the example I take for that is myself. Again, for those of you who don't know, I work in the hospital, and officially on schedule, I'm set for 5.5 hours, which doesn't actually qualify me for a full-hour lunch break. And so I usually just don't bother. I just kind of work through it because it's not that bad. If you include my bike ride, about 10, 15 minutes both ways, I get a solid 6 hours there where I don't really eat. Now, I could theoretically say that I'm fasting for 6 hours every single weekday, and low is me, and look at what I'm doing kind of a thing, but I'm not really challenging myself. I'm not really doing anything. I'm not engaging God in any particular way. So it wouldn't really be right for me to say that I'm taking a food fast, at least not during that time and not in that way. So the reason why I bring this is because we look towards a specific time. Again, I'd mentioned 6 hours there, and we kind of specify here that you should be fasting for a certain amount of time. And how long should you fast for is ultimately up to you and your conviction with God. There are some people who will fast for 6, 12, or 24 hours, and that'll be it. That'll be their fast if they do. And they often title those occasional fasts. Sometimes people will fast on a certain day of the week, like every Tuesday, I'll fast from this time to this time. Or maybe I'll fast every third week of every month in trying to do this. And those are what we call intermittent fastings. And those are kind of different than, or in the same idea of what you see this dieting trend of, I'm always going to fast from this time to this time, and then I'll eat, and then I'll always fast from this time, and then I'll eat. It's the same kind of idea. That I'll fast from this time, and then I'll eat, and then I'll fast from this time, and then I'll eat. There's a schedule, an intermittent break between your fast. And the last one that you kind of have is extended fast, which generally speaking is usually 2 weeks or longer, but there's a little bit of wiggle room in that. Again, ultimately, the time that we're talking about is not what's important. It's the time that you feel convicted to. It's the time that you feel God is leading you towards that you should be fasting for. So if you feel like a day is going to be enough to fast for what your purpose is, then do a day. If you feel like you need a week, then do a week. If you feel like you need a month, then do a month. But again, you do these things with a specific purpose, and that drives us to our last idea of what it means to have a specific purpose in mind. With this is we don't fast, like the video said, because we're trying to lose weight or because we're trying to accomplish something for ourselves of trying to show people like, oh, look at me that I'm fasting. No, we fast because we're looking for a specific spiritual reason. We're looking for something that we want to see God do in our lives. And the best way that I really want to dive into this, aside from just listing out several things here, is just to look at what the Bible says, some of the examples and the reasons that we get from the Bible as to why we fast. And so the first one that we dive into here comes from Luke chapter 4, 1 and 2. This is in preparation of doing something. So to give you the context here, this is Jesus fasting for 40 days. If you've been in church or if you've kind of heard some stories, this may have come up once before. Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan River. And the very next thing he says is that being full of the Holy Spirit, he leaves and he goes into the wilderness and he fasts for 40 days. And the idea here that Jesus was doing is that he's trying to prepare himself for the ministry that he's about to undertake. Because when you look through your Bible, if you look at the very next section, it says Jesus began his ministry. And so the idea that we have here is that you fast in preparation for something that's just about to happen. For a lot of you guys, you know that I do a lot of work with Camp Fusion. And one of the things that we've tried to do pretty consistently here is we'll have all of our counselors, our rec team, our core staff, we'll do a 30-hour fast the day before, or I guess a day and 6 hours before camp starts. And we'll sit there and we'll focus ourselves to think not about the food that we would like to eat, but in preparation for the work that we're about to do. For whether we're going to be counseling students or whether we're going to be leading them in games, or whether we're helping to run the camp so that these kids can engage with God. Our goal here is to withhold food so that we can better focus on the work that God has in store for us. A second reason that we sometimes fast is that we're looking for something. We have a desire for something. In 2 Samuel, this is 12, 16, and 17. This is after David had had an affair with Bathsheba. And Nathan comes and he convicts him. And he says, hey, because of your affair, because of the wrong things that you've done, your first child, the child that Bathsheba is going to bear, is going to die. And so David's desire was to beseech the Lord and say, would you change your mind? Would you relent? And would you instead allow this child to live? And he fasted. And his fast ended up lasting about 7 days. And it was so severe that his servants, when trying to pick him up, he just would not do it. They were worried about him. They were scared of what would happen. And on the seventh day, when his son passed away, his team around him, his servants, were nervous to tell him because they saw how badly the fasting was hurting him. How much more would hearing that his son passed away do to him? What kind of harm would that bring to him? So the reason why I use this example, because there are many other examples of people fasting and asking God to do something and God granting it and God changing his mind or relenting and doing something that he had originally had said he wasn't going to do or doing something or not doing something that he said he was going to do. Either way, the reason why I chose this one here is because David fasted with the purpose of a desire for something, that he wanted his son to live. And even though God didn't grant that to him, what you see in verse 20 is that David got up. Once he realized his son had passed away, he got up, he changed his clothes, and he went and he worshiped. that even though one of our purposes for fasting is to beseech God to do something, something that we would like to have happen, if that fits into his grand plan, but regardless of whether he grants that or does not grant it, our response should always be to worship him. Fasting isn't a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of a deal with God. It's about us humbling ourselves so that we can desire God's plan. It's about seeking a response to worship him, regardless of what response we think we should be getting. And while there are many more reasons, the last one that I wanted to dive into is kind of a catch-all in a sense. It's something we can all do at any point in time, and that's in hunger of Jesus. Here in Matthew chapter 9, 14 and 17, this is when the disciples of John came to him and they asked him, "You're not fasting. You and your group here aren't fasting, but the Pharisees and everyone else is fasting. Why aren't you?" And Jesus said to them, "When you come to the wedding, do you not wait? Do you not long as the bridegroom is with them? Are you not here enjoying the wedding with the bridegroom when he's here? Because the days will come when the bridegroom is gone and you cannot be with him. Then you will fast." And I'm very much just kind of paraphrasing what they're being said here. So what Jesus is telling them is that he is the bridegroom. Why would you fast while I'm here? Instead, you should take advantage and enjoy the time while I can teach you, while I can disciple you, while I can reach out to you. And when I'm gone, that's when you will fast. So again, we are at that point now. Jesus has died, he has risen from the grave, and he is waiting in heaven, and we are waiting for him to return. We are at the point where the bridegroom has left us, and we are waiting for him to return. So when we fast, we can fast in anticipation, in longing for Jesus to be back to us. That when we fast, we show that we have a hunger more to see Jesus than we have a hunger to see the food in front of our plates, to see our bellies filled. We have a hunger more for Jesus to fill us. And so the last thing that we'll kind of dive into here is, how do we fast? What are some practical ways that you can do so? So what I want to do here is just give you 5 quick steps that you can take in order to fast, and then maybe a couple tips here or there on what you should be looking at. So the first one here in looking at how to fast is determine, again, why are you fasting? Again, you should be fasting for a spiritual purpose. Are you doing it because you're in preparation, as we mentioned? Are you getting ready to go on a mission trip? Are you getting ready to lead a devotional? Is there some desire in your heart? Is there something that you're longing for? Is there somebody who you'd like to see come to Christ? Is there somebody you desire to enter into the family of who Jesus and what Jesus has done? A cousin, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, an uncle, an aunt, whoever it may be, if you desire for them to come to Christ, you can fast for them. Or maybe you're just, again, in hunger, in longing to see what God is doing in your life. Then you can determine that that's your reason for fasting, that when you fast, you're trying to engage God in a deeper way. The second step here is to decide what you're going to fast from. Again, is it going to be only food? Is it going to be food and water? Is it going to be from technology? Is it going to be from games? Is it going to be from sports? Is it going to be from exercise? That would be a really cool one to do every now and again. Like, what are you going to be fasting from? What are you going to be withdrawing from so that you will engage with God? And before I get into more tips, let me give you one here real quick as it applies just to this one. Be wise about what you choose. Again, I know we have a lot of students in the room. If you're a student and you have an essay to write, don't fast from technology. That's not going to allow you to have a success. That's not going to get you a win. If you're working, don't fast from driving and say, "I can't come into work because I'm fasting." Fast from things that you know you can accomplish. Don't purposely choose something that you know you can't do. Don't purposely choose something that you have to engage in. The third step that we'll talk about here is decide how long you'll fast for. Again, God created this world so we can enjoy it, and you should, as long as you continue to keep your focus on Christ. So decide what you will fast for, how long you're going to fast for it, and determine that time slot. Again, that time is up to you. A day, a week, a month, none of these makes you more holy the longer you commit to it, but you need to determine what that time is, and you need to honor that time. The fourth step here is to communicate appropriately. Because when you're doing a fast, you need to tell people who are directly involved in your lives what you're doing. And again, this isn't like that one video example we saw where you martyr yourself and you just say, "Did you not get my email that I sent to everyone in my address book that I'm fasting for this day at this time?" But again, if you're married or if you're in a relationship, you should let that person know. Or maybe you should let your parents know so they don't cook more than they need to. Again, you don't want your spouse, your parents, your significant other, whatever it may be, to be wondering, why aren't you eating for these last 3 days? You know, is it something that I've done? Are you trying to say something to me? Do you not like my cooking? Like, what is it about this? What's going on? Like, tell them so that they don't worry about you, so that you don't cause them to stumble. Communicate to those who need to know that you're fasting so that you can appropriately do so and that they can appropriately pray for you as well. And the last step is just to actually do the fast. And with this, I say, give yourself some grace when you need it. If you're fasting from social media and you accidentally just sit down, you pull out your phone and you're just by habit, you open up Instagram. Don't think like, oh, I failed God and I'm the worst human being in the world. Quit the app and go back to your fast and take that time just to pray and think about what it is that I'm fasting for. And at the same time, don't be too loose on yourself. If you accidentally open up Instagram and you're like, well, I have it open. I might as well look through and see what's there since I did it by accident. No, again, recognize what you're doing, why you're doing it, and continue your fast. Before we close up, let me go ahead and give you just a couple things to keep in mind. That again, the Bible has never specifically said that you should fast. You can never find a scripture that says on Thursday of every fourth month of every fourth year, you should fast. You're never going to find that. But in Matthew 6:16, Jesus shows us that he expected us to fast. In his wording, he says, when you fast, do it like this. So there's anticipation, there's expectation that Jesus has that you will take on a fast in our daily walk with him. But in that same idea, when you do your fast, he tells us to keep your head up. Don't be depressed. Don't be saddened by your fast. Don't let people see it on your face. Don't be hypocritical about it. Again, just being martyrish about it. Like, do you not get that I'm on this fast? Why are you asking me how am I feeling? No, you should continue to act as if everything is normal, to show people that fasting, that doing these things for God brings you joy. And the only person who really could know that you're fasting is God, that he sees your fasting, he glorifies in it. The other thing that I'll say here is that think about what you're going to do in your fast. And I mean that in the sense of if you're fasting from food, there's going to be times where people normally eat. And that would be you in those situations. So find out what you're going to do in that time that you would normally be eating. In your lunch hour at work from 12 to 1, if that's your normally scheduled slot to have lunch, find out, what am I going to fill that hour with? Am I going to do a devotional? Am I going to pray? Am I going to do a prayer walk and just walk around the building that I'm in or the garden that I can find or the park that's right next door? Do something to occupy yourself. Don't sit there and think about, man, I really wish I could go have that chicken sandwich that I thought that I had last week, or I really wish that I could eat this food that I really wanted to have that everybody else is getting to eat, that this party is going on around me. Don't focus on what you're fasting from. Instead, focus on God. Because ultimately, when you fast, and especially, again, I encourage you to do a fast from food if you can, because that tends to be one of the most difficult ones. What happens is when you feel that pain of hunger, when you feel that urge that you want to eat, hopefully what that does is not tell you, man, I'm really sad that I can't eat. Hopefully that leads you to thinking about, okay, I'm hungry, what am I fasting for? And how I can pray, how I can think about that person that I'm fasting for that thing that I'm fasting for that new mission trip that I'm looking forward to, for the new devotional book that I'm about to engage in, for the new disciple that I'm about to lead in, for the new person that I want to see Christ. That when you feel that pain of hunger, you think of why you're fasting, not about the food that you're fasting from. So again, fasting is our way to declare Jesus as the master of our lives, rather than our flesh or our stomach. It's a way that we can draw closer to God. It's a way that we can better align ourselves with God's will for our lives. And as we continue to dive into these different spiritual disciplines, I encourage you to take one on each week as we go through them. That sometime today, you would plan a fast for this week or the upcoming week or whatever, again, fits your schedule, your time, and your convictions. Again, it doesn't matter if you do one for a few hours, you do one for a day, you do one for a week. You decide what fits your schedule. You figure out what it is that would be best to fast for. And you try one this week, and you see how God reaches out to you. You see what God is trying to do in your life. And if you're sitting here in the room and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't really call Jesus my master. I don't know why I would fast. Then if you're sitting here, then I'd encourage you, take a risk and do a fast anyway. Do one for just a day. Do one for a few hours. And in that time, pray. Read the Bible and seek what God is calling out to you, because I guarantee you that when you seek after Him, He will seek after you. And if you're wondering, who am I saying this to? If you're wondering, is He speaking to me? Then yes, I am talking to you, that you should be taking time to see whether God is reaching out to you. Because I know that He is, because God sent His Son, His perfect Son, to die on a cross so that we would have the opportunity to engage in eternal life with the Father. And I stand here, being up here, able to tell you how amazing a relationship with Jesus and with God really is. And I would know that He wants you to be a part of that family just as much as He enjoys me being a part of that family. And so if you think God is reaching out to you, then He is. Through me, He is telling you that you should reach out to Him, that you should spend time with Him, that you should find out whether or not this is the person who has been yearning after you, who has been longing after you, who wants a relationship with you, who wants to grow deeper with you. And I pray that your answer to that is yes. And I pray that you continue to seek after Him in whatever way that that is. And I pray that you continue to yearn after a deeper relationship with God. And if you have any questions, again, I'd love to just spend time with you in just conversation as to what that means to have a relationship with Christ, to call God your Heavenly Father, to embrace the Holy Spirit, and to see that how He is here to help you. So again, if you have any questions about that, please feel free to see me afterwards. Otherwise, let me go ahead and pray and close this out and just continue to pray over everyone here as well. So Father, we just continue just to lift You up. We continue to praise You for the work that You've done in our lives, for continuing to be grace upon grace. That when we go through life, when we go through these fasts, even when we mess up, we know that You see our hearts, that You see who it is that we are, and that You recognize that our purpose is to glorify You. That not if we make mistakes, but when we make mistakes, we know that You've already sent Your Son to accept them and to forgive them, and again, just to continue to embrace us into Your family. So again, I pray that we would all see that we would all continue to be part of Your family, that we would yearn after a relationship with You, that we would continue to seek after a relationship with You. And Father, again, I just pray over all of us here that as we aim to try to do a fast in whatever way that looks like, whether it be from food or whether it be from technology or whether it be from whatever it is that You've called us to fast from, would You give us energy? Would You give us strength? And again, would You reach out to us and would You engage us in a way that we can continue to fall deeper in love with You? So Father, again, we thank You. We do these and pray these all in Your Son's name. Amen.